Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Bulletin, it's all over the news. I guess you've heard about this. I don't know. This is really, really intense. Ted Haggard is still heterosexual. Man. See, when you really put your mind to something. Now I know why Dim Sun doesn't send email. It's not because, I don't want you reading my stuff. That's what he said. But I never believed that. I used to think it was because he was too stupid to figure out, you know, exactly how to do it. Now I think it's because he knew he couldn't keep track of the multiple lies flying around in all these multiple email. Or is it emails? It's email?
Let me ask you this. If you go to get the mail out of the mailbox, do you say, I'm going to go get the mails? No.
Oh. Is that kind of a harbinger as to how this night is going to go? Okay, well, I'll take this lap down. Okay. Now, all these email between the Justice Department and the White House just keep dribbling out bit by bit. Have you noticed that? Every time Karl Rove's name pops up, all of a sudden there's more breaking news. Another confession by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Now, apparently, he personally murdered Daniel Pearl with his right hand, which belongs to Mohammed or something. Tomorrow, when Valerie Plame testifies before Waxman's House Oversight and Reform Committee, I'm sure we'll be treated to major breaking news about a missing submarine or a celebrity head shaving or the headline, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed claims responsibility for placing cheesy electronic Cartoon Network promotional kids around Boston. In a signed confession, Mohammed stated, with Allah's greatest blessing, I did distribute these tools of the capitalist devils around the evil country's most historically revered city. By my own sacred right hand, I raised the middle finger of the evil cartoon icons in memory of my fallen brothers, the great martyrs of Satan America's continued genocide of my people. Got an email earlier today from Beth in San Francisco, and I want to share it with you. Dear Mike, like many people who listen to your program, I am bombarded with such a bevy of upsetting information that sometimes the weight of these issues seems to get lost. But the other day I had a moment of clarity that made me want to yell out loud. I don't have a TV, but I get to see about 5 minutes of CNN at the gym in the locker room. I walked in, looked up, and stared at the shiny screen with its moving pictures, and this blonde woman wearing too much makeup who was reporting, quote, news. She was talking with a panel of guests about something completely useless in a tone reminiscent of my high school days. Was this really a reporter? Why did she sound like a Valley girl? She and her guests were standing around a table, and they were shouting at one another about some asinine subject when it suddenly dawned on me. At that moment, in a country most Americans can't point out on a map, people are dying. Not just American soldiers, but innocent citizens of the world who just wanted to live their lives and love their families. People are being slaughtered, and this nasal-voiced blonde had not the decency to do the moral and sound thing and actually have the guts to report it. She's no better than Blackwater or Halliburton. She, too, takes a paycheck and perpetuates this evil war without blinking an eye. The facts were so obvious to me, but to actually see it, to see her smiling with bleached white teeth, knowing that every shred of her journalistic integrity was gone Well, it was almost too much to bear in silence. I couldn't scream, so I ran 5 miles instead. It's been 2 days, and it still bothers the hell out of me. My husband is a PD at a station in San Francisco, and when I spoke to him about it, he said that it's a direct play to the dumb middle of the population, a vast and ever-expanding wedge of the collective pie. He has to cater to these dolts musically on a daily basis. There's a reason why radio stations play a handful of songs. So the idiot population is growing, in no small part due to cuts in school funding in many districts where teaching science has come under fire. More idiots equal more idiot news. More idiot news, well, the better criminal activities can be hidden or erased from history altogether. Oh, my God. I'm living in a country full of zombies. I feel like I'm in a cross between a George Orwell and a Richard Matheson book. Which way am I going to take through the labyrinth today? What new supervillain am I supposed to hate? Which undead celebrity am I supposed to worship? When does the plot twist again? Where is the real story? Damn it, where's the truth? So I keep running my 5 miles every day, if nothing more, to keep from having a complete freakout. I'm one person, but at least I know I'm not alone. Your program has made me well aware of that. I just wish there was some way to peacefully pry our government away from the clutches of these demons, these killers, these snakes who keep the nation dumb and uninspired. Beth in San Francisco. Yeah, what an enormous reservoir of that sort of feeling or sense of where we are exists in the American population. It's astonishing. Here's a little tidbit for you before we get to the real heavy-duty stuff tonight, and God knows we've got heavy-duty stuff. Rudy Giuliani's law firm has lobbied. Oh, by the way, Beth in San Francisco, of course, was writing about Paul Azan. You know, we all know Paul Azan is Paul Azan. All right. Giuliani's law firm has been lobbying for years on behalf of Citgo Petroleum, which is an oil company, of course, controlled by Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Chavez, of course, is a, to put it mildly, a strident critic of Bush and American-style capitalism, and well, he should be. Anybody with the sense God gave a bag of doorknobs would be a strident critic of Bush and American-style capitalism. Let's face it. The firm is based in Houston. It's called Bracewell & Giuliani, and it handles lobbying in the Texas Capitol in Houston for the Citgo Petroleum Corporation of Houston. And Citgo is the American subsidiary of Petróleos de Venezuela, the state-owned oil company that Mr. Chavez controls. The financial relationship with a company affiliated with one of the most outspoken critics of the United States, potentially, the New York Times says, exposes Mr. Giuliani to new scrutiny as he campaigns to become the Republican nominee for president in 2008. Now, keep in mind, the very people on right-wing hysterical talk radio, the nutballs and brain-dead pigs, you know, the you know who they are, the Limbaughs and Hannitys, they, you know, they just screech and scream and froth and foam at the mouth about Chavez. What are they going to do now to find out that Rudy has been Rudy's firm has been paid about $5,000-$6,000 a month for years? The Giuliani campaign refused to answer questions about this particular client, but it issued a brief statement. Here is part of the statement. Mayor Giuliani believes Hugo Chavez is not a friend of the United States, and his influence continues to grow because of our increasing reliance on foreign sources of oil. As the mayor has consistently stated, the development of alternative fuels is a priority that demands a solution in order to ensure the United States' energy independence. However, in the meantime, Rudy Giuliani, being a Republican whore, if that's not redundant, will continue to take money from an avowed enemy of George W. Bush and the United States of America. And if you don't like it, you can kiss our grits. Okay, the last part I just added. Giuliani, you see, hasn't released a complete list of his clients, and it was brought up early in after he announced that, like Kissinger, it's going to turn out that Giuliani has some clients that are really going to freak out the right wing. Of course, this is all nonsense because Giuliani is not going to be president of anything except maybe Bracewell and Giuliani. So, just you know, thought you might want to know. If you want to have some fun tomorrow, tune in to the Pigman's program and see how he tries to spin that one. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
The Music Factory from the Catskills in New York. We have a bureau up there now, by the way. But AJ at the Music Factory sent me an email. Mike, this is from CNN's website today. Quote, mired in an unpopular war, slumping in the polls, and knocked off course by one setback after another, Bush still has time. He can score a few legislative victories and burnish his domestic legacy before he leaves office if he gets help from both parties, end quote. And then AJ goes a little bit nuts. Setback? Setback? What in the hell is wrong with these people? Bush has had setbacks? They're effing crimes, not setbacks. Oops, it rained on my golf day. That's a setback. Oops, the Rothschilds will be late for cocktails tonight. That's a setback. Oops, my attorney general got caught in our scheme to subvert the Constitution. That's a setback. At the very least, we can agree that they are scandals. Please, somebody take an American flag and stick it through my skull. Rah! AJ's having some problems up there, Kathy. I think we need to send, maybe send somebody from the program out there. This is in the Times today. In a statement to a military tribunal, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed took responsibility for 31 terror attacks or attempts, including the following. 1. The 1993 World Trade Center bombing. 2. The 9/11 attacks from A to Z. 3. The shoe bomber operation to down two American planes. 4. A 2002 shooting in Kuwait that killed an American Marine. 5. The Bali nightclub bombing that killed more than 180 people in 2002. 6. Planning attacks against several prominent American skyscrapers. 7. Planning to destroy American military vessels and oil tankers. 8. Planning to bomb the Panama Canal. 9. Planning to assassinate several former American presidents, including President Carter. 10. Planning to bomb several New York landmarks, including the Stock Exchange and suspension bridges. 11. Planning to destroy several London landmarks, including Heathrow Airport and Big Ben. 12. Planning to destroy buildings in the Israeli city of Eilat using planes leaving Saudi Arabia. 13. Planning to destroy Israeli and American embassies around the world. 14. Sending fighters into Israel to conduct surveillance on strategic targets. 15. Bombing a hotel in Mombasa, Kenya, frequented by Israeli travelers. 16. Launching a Russian surface-to-air missile at an El Al airliner leaving Mombasa. 17. Conducting surveillance on nuclear power plants in the United States. 18. Planning to hit NATO headquarters in Brussels. 19. Planning to bomb 12 American aircraft full of passengers. 20. An assassination attempt on President Clinton in the Philippines in 1994 or 1995. 21. Shared responsibility for an assassination attempt against Pope John Paul II in the Philippines. 22. Planning the assassination of President Pervez Musharraf of Pakistan. 23. attempting to destroy an American oil company in Sumatra owned by the Jewish former Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger. Interesting that the Times identifies Henry Kissinger as the Jewish former Secretary of State. And who knew that Henry Kissinger owned an oil company in Sumatra? Woo! J.R. writes, Mike, I know that Khalid's confession, quote, quote, is induced by torture. But my question is this. If he was born in 1964, as reported, and he planned to kill President Carter when he was president, as reported, he would have been somewhere between 14 and 18 or so. Why has no one questioned that? How on earth could a 14-year-old have planned a major attack like that? I mean, he would have had to have had some major connection to pull it off, and I just do not think that he could have. My point is that there alone should have told us that it was all BS. Of course, we are talking about the free press here. Never again will I think of our press as free. From Greg in San Antonio about the confession, the angle of attack on this ridiculous attempt to cover up the cover-up ought to be thus, and nothing more complex. Here it is. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is reported to have confessed to a crime that he could not have possibly been involved in by people who clearly have a great deal to hide. Mohammed refused further comment on these allegations and asked that all further questions be sent to his attorney, the Easter Bunny, who is living with Santa Claus and an undemanding woman in an undisclosed location in the Poconos. You people are cynical as hell, aren't you? Huh? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed just confessed to the murder of JonBenet Ramsey, Abraham Lincoln, the Lindbergh baby, the sheriff, he shot him, J.R., he shot him too, Vince Foster, Anna Nicole Smith, and is the father of her baby, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, Kenny from South Park, Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson, Lacey Peterson, Jesus, Elvis, JFK and JFK Jr., Jimmy Hoffa. He also confessed to starting Rex Grossman for the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl, the bungled response to Katrina, letting the dogs out, being the walrus, Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction, the war on Christmas, creating the giant meteor which right. The Crusades, shooting Dick Cheney's friend in the face. The murder of Lacey Peterson. He also just cleared the good names of Kobe Bryant, Scott Peterson, Gary Condit, Sacco and Vanzetti, Jeffrey Dahmer, and Joseph Mengele. What, we're back? Oh, hey, 26 before the hour. Yeah, it's a long list. I don't quite get this. I really don't. To play the hand like this, isn't this a little bit insane? I mean, even assuming that they have someone named Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and assuming that they tortured him enough to get confessions out of him, I would confess to anything using the kind of torture that was used on this person that they claim is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But don't the PR specialists with the CIA or the torture dudes or the inner circle of madness in the Bush crime family, don't they understand that To do it this way, to get Roves and Cheney's and everybody, Gonzalez's name off the lead story in the news is not going to work. In the first place, these rat bastards have spent 6 years telling us that Osama bin Laden was in charge. No question about it, Osama bin Laden. Secondly, if you are going to make an abrupt turn like this and say, okay, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did it all, then why not just say he was behind it? He confessed to the attack on this country on September 11th and let it go. But because they are ignorant bastards, every single member of the Bush crime family is a freak, just an absolute maniac. They do it this way. And somehow this is, remember the color-coded terror alerts, how that was supposed to just overwhelm us and put us into a state of almost near suspended animation so they could go about butchering and murdering the U.S. Constitution. And to a certain degree, for about the first 10 minutes, it worked. But this, they think they've got the color-coded terror alerts system back again. Okay, let's spring the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed thing on them. Now, we've had this guy for 4 years, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but they're closing in on Rove, and they're closing in on Gonzalez, and they're closing in on Cheney. Oh, Jesus, let's do something real quick. Okay, let's do the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed thing. Master Miller writes, this confession by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is probably the biggest BS I've heard in a long time. What's worse is that it puts holes in the official 9/11 story. I thought Osama planned 9/11. Is that not the reason we bombed and invaded Afghanistan? I guess we can pull the troops out of there now and give bin Laden a personal apology. But wait, wasn't there a video where bin Laden confessed? Where he's lounging on a couch and laughing with his friends saying 9/11 was all his idea? Even Rumsfeld used that video as a rock solid conviction. I clearly remember getting banned from several websites for saying that video was a fake. I wonder what was in room 101 for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to get him to confess. Well, it's hard to say, but let's go to Slow Tony at the press briefing today on that very, very, very busy, busy, busy terrorist, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who seemed to be guilty of everything from 9/11 to the shaving of Britney Spears' head. Helen Thomas asked the following, was the Mohammed on the front pages subjected to any torture in the secret prisons?
The policy of this government is that we do not engage in torture.
And so you can guarantee that he was not tortured in all these years of secret...
I'm telling you, the policy is that we don't do torture, and furthermore, that there are very specific guidelines that have been laid down in terms of the questioning of people who, in fact, have been in U.S. custody.
But after it was all revealed, how do we know? Why would you send them to secret prisons in the first place?
Well, I'm not going to... Helen, we have been through long conversations about that. There was a big debate on Capitol Hill about this. We're not going to relitigate it.
We're not going to relitigate it? Huh. Just one more investigation on the long list of Waxman and Conyers that they're planning, I'm sure. Tony Snow says... we have guidelines laid down in terms of the questioning of people who, in fact, have been in U.S. custody. Okay. Why not just say, no, Helen, he wasn't tortured? Now, how about this? Somebody sent me this today. This is from the Asia Times, asiatimes.com, or atimes.com. This is from October 2002. And it's from Karachi, Pakistan. Ever since the frenzied shootout last month, on September 11th in Karachi, that date is significant. It was a year after the attack on this country. There have been doubts over whether Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the self-proclaimed head of Al-Qaeda's military committee, died in the police raid on his apartment. Now it has emerged that Kuwaiti national Khalid Sheikh Mohammed did indeed perish in the raid. But his wife and child were taken from the apartment and handed over to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, in whose hands they remain. Sources close to Pakistani intelligence agents say that the wife, under intense interrogation, has revealed information that is likely to lead to a new crackdown in Pakistan, as well as in Southeast Asia. After the Taliban and Al-Qaeda were routed in Afghanistan at the end of 2001, many fled to Pakistan to regroup and set up new cells. One of these, as described in Asia Times Online, was in Karachi, with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as its head. Despite being tracked by informers within Pakistan's Inner Service Intelligence, ISI, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who has been described as, quote, probably the only man who knows all the Al-Qaeda pieces of the puzzle, end quote, Mohammed always managed to remain one step ahead of any raiding parties in the slum areas along the coastal belt of Karachi. However, it was then learned that Sheikh Mohammed had established connections with some local groups, including underworld figures, to entrench his cell. Using highly sensitive equipment, in April, a call was tracked to someone by the name of Arif, living in the densely populated southwestern part of the city. Arif spoke to a Tunisian, passing on a message from Sheikh Mohammed. Consequently, the Tunisian is believed to be the man who rammed a truck laden with explosives into a Jewish synagogue in Jerba in Tunisia, in which many French and German citizens died. After this suicide attack, the FBI was on to Sheikh Mohammed in a big way, and no doubt, not entirely without coincidence, on September 11th, they decided on a showdown at the apartment of Sheikh Mohammed, his wife and child, in the Defense Housing Authority near Karachi Road. A number of Arabs also were living in the apartment at the time. Initially, the joint ISI-FBI plan was to take Sheikh Mohammed alive so that he could be grilled, especially grilled. Why not deep-fried? So he could be grilled, especially as he was believed to have knowledge of other al-Qaeda cells in Afghanistan, Somalia, Sudan, Yemen, and elsewhere. However, as a plainclothes officer climbed the stairs toward the third-floor apartment, a hand grenade was thrown and he retreated. Reinforcements then arrived, and for the next few hours, a fierce gun battle blazed. The FBI, still keen to take Sheikh Mohammed alive, tear-gassed the area, and a number of people were captured. However, despite instructions to the contrary, a few Pakistan rangers entered the flat where they found Sheikh Mohammed and another man, allegedly with their hands up. The rangers nevertheless opened fire on the pair. Later, the Pakistani press carried pictures of a message scrawled in blood on the wall of the flat, proclaiming the Muslim refrain of Kalma. In Arabic, there is no God except Allah, Muhammad is his messenger. An official who was present in the flat at the time of the shooting has told Asia Times Online that the message was written by Sheikh Mohammed with his own blood as his life drained from him. Subsequently, to their surprise, the raiders learned that Ramzi bin al-Shib had been netted in the swoop, and nothing further was said of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. But now it emerges that an Arab woman and a child were taken to an ISI safe house, where they identified the Sheikh Mohammed's body as their husband and father. The body was kept in a private non-government organization mortuary for 20 days before being buried under the surveillance of the FBI in a graveyard in the central district of Karachi. The widow subsequently underwent exhaustive interrogation in the custody of FBI officials, during which she revealed details of people who visited her husband and of his other contacts and plans. News of the death of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was intentionally suppressed so that officials could play on the power of his name to follow up leads and contacts. Copyright 2002, Asia Times Online, Limited. So, you know, you pay your money and place your bet. That's all. Was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed killed over 4 years ago? Was he not? Is he the one who really stole the Kishka? I mean, there are so many questions here, but I will guarantee you this. A government that will lie a nation into a war, murder, pick a number, Iraqi civilians, be responsible for approaching 3,200 dead Americans, tens of thousands of wounded, a government that will lie and lie and lie about everything, including a war or two, will also lie about some freak known as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So what are you going to do? You see, once you have been lied to, how do you believe anything the liar says from that point on? That was a point I made to my now 28-year-old son when he was about 11. And I just told him, Chris, you and I have been straightforward. I've never lied to you, which I never did. I've never lied to you. As far as I know, you've never lied to me. We should keep it that way, because as long as you and I know that we only speak the truth, we never have to explain anything to each other, father and son. He's now 28, and as far as I know, it's all been truth. Who knows? Who knows? But as far as the Bush crime family is concerned, I wouldn't believe the bastards if they told me it's dark here on the East Coast right now.
American will be allowed to torture another human being anywhere in the world.
Well, I had my fingers crossed when I said that. Ron in Briarwood writes, this whole story might be more believable if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed didn't look so much like John Belushi doing the famous SNL cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger skit. Yeah.
No coke, waterboard.
Greg in Bethesda. Mike, these guys are just shameless. 5 years later, they still can't find bin Laden. What is their strategy? Torture a confession out of someone else, then simply convince themselves that they got the perpetrator after all. It's amazingly Republican. It clears the cognitive dissonance. They really did get the bad guy. They didn't fail. They succeeded. They are heroes after all. Bin Laden, since they couldn't find him, he didn't do it. This is insane. Okay, if we accept the official story, which I don't, of what happened to this country on September 11, 2001, either Bush and his bastards have been lying to us about bin Laden, or the whole thing about Sheikh Mohammed is a farce, a fake. I mean, they really do think, and so does Limbaugh, and so do his little piglets all across the right-wing radio spectrum, we're just going to sit back here and believe this. Jen writes something very serious about this, though. Mike, did you hear anything that two of Muhammad's sons were taken into custody when he was and have not been seen since? Could it be that those poor children were tortured in front of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's eyes to get him to confess? Yeah, that is possible. It's very possible. The people who do torture don't care what or who or how they torture. People who commit torture are sick sons of bitches. They really, really are. They're like this pig who murdered the little girl down in Florida. And how did he murder her? He raped her and then buried her alive with one of her stuffed animals. And she suffocated. Torturers are the same. The United States of America now sanctions torture. I don't care what Tony Snow says or Dick Cheney or George Bush or any of these pigs. We all know, and so does the world, that we torture. Regarding Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's confession, Reg writes, it is interesting that the New York Times hid this disclaimer close to the end of the article about these so-called confessions. Here's what the Times said. It is not clear how many of Mr. Mohammed's expansive claims were legitimate. In 2005, the September 11th Commission said that Mr. Mohammed was noted for his extravagant ambitions and, using his initials, described his vision as theater, a spectacle of destruction with KSM as the self-cast star, the super terrorist. Well, on the other hand, Dick Cheney, this dumb bastard, is still out there telling people that Saddam Hussein was responsible for 9/11. They can't get anything straight. George in Seattle writes, Mike, when Dick Cheney gets applause for saying that Saddam Hussein was involved in 9/11, he is not getting applause from AIPAC because they think that the statement is true. Rather, Cheney is getting applause for his ability to stick to a fictional story that has brought these vampires in the audience the war they wanted and the riches that ensued because of it. AIPAC loves hearing the lies of Dick Cheney because it reaffirms to them that Dick is still their guy. Oh, and we have a break coming up here pretty quickly, but we're going to get into the Karl Rove thing here in a minute because I think Rove and Gonzo are toast. Wouldn't that be fun? Ron Neems, John Neems writes about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Mike, he also looks like Ron Jeremy, the porn star. Oh, God, this would be so funny if it weren't so tragic and murderous and bloody and sick and filthy and involve somehow, some way, the deaths of thousands, tens of thousands of people, all of it centered back into the sick reptilian mind of Dick Cheney. Every single thing. Dick Cheney and Karl Rove, master manipulators, murderous reptiles, filthy. They should be quietly, peacefully and legally, taken out of positions of power. They really should, shouldn't they? This is from Bob in Miami. Kathy, I'm sorry, but here it comes. Mike and Kathy, I disagree about pluralizing email. Yes, you get mail in the mailbox at the end of the driveway. One piece or many. Are you listening? Okay. One piece or many is still mail. You get mail in the computer mailbox, and it's the same convention. But you can say, I got two letters. Individual correspondence. But if it's email, the usual usage is, I got two emails from Bill. You could say electronic correspondences, electronic letters, e-letters, etc., but most just say emails.
Ha-ha. You know, people are being assassinated in Darfur, and children are starving globally, and this is what people care about.
Yeah,
aren't
I know.
You ashamed of yourself?
Well, you know, yes, I'm always ashamed of myself. I live in constant shame.
I don't claim to be 100%. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I am not right all the time.
Wait a minute. Let me mark that on the tape that's running in there, because I want to take that out. And the next time you and I have one of our screaming fights, I can play that for you. When you're
insisting. I am not correct 100% of the time.
We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. Stick around. We have much more of this filth, lies, deceit, deception, murder, chaos. And that's just between Kathy and me. We also have some topics here on the program. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back. Oh, yeah, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Don't miss this. It's must-see TV. 10 a.m. tomorrow, Eastern Time, on C-SPAN. Henry Waxman's committee and Valerie Plame. As a witness, you've got to see this. What time? 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. I wonder if I almost said I wonder if Molly will be up. What I meant was I wonder if you'll be home from taking Molly to one of her little classes. And if you haven't done it yet, visit GoHarrison.com. GoHarrison.com and look for a podcast there tomorrow. I know a lot of our listeners miss Harrison on the Edge from KTLK in Los Angeles. So go to GoHarrison.com. What time tomorrow, Catherine? Anytime. All right. From Lane, dear Mike, please take care not to support the neocon meme that Chavez is, quote, an enemy of the United States of America, end quote, even in a luscious Giuliani parody. Chavez provided cheap oil for thousands of poor American families during the bitter cold winters in the Northeast, while domestic prices were and are so exorbitant. Even as Chevron and the rest of them reaped their biggest profits ever. He is definitely not an enemy of the American people. And when you say Chavez is an enemy of George Bush and the people of the United States of America, even in an inspired Giuliani parody, you help float the idea that they are somehow equal. That to hate Dim's son is to be an enemy of the American people. I know it was the mayor you were channeling, but still, I'm just frazzled sick of demonizing democratically elected leaders whose main crime is that they are nationalizing their oil. That I have to write even my favorite inspired radio talk show host. All right, Lane, one thing, I don't know if you caught it, but I was quoting from you out of the quoting to you from an article in the New York Times. Okay, I certainly have no complaint with Hugo Chavez. And it wasn't a parody on Giuliani. It's the truth. And it's in today's New York Times and today's Houston Chronicle. Okay? Okay. Newly released emails from top administration officials show that the idea of firing all 93 U.S. attorneys was raised by White House advisor Karl Rove in early January 2005, indicating Rove was more involved in the plan than the White House previously acknowledged. Let's clear something up. That would have been the second time all 93 had been fired, because most of them, when the Bush crime family stole the presidency and took office in 2001, almost all of the 93 federal attorneys were Clinton appointees. So this would have been the second firing. As a matter of fact, this rotund little pig, Karl Rove, or as Bush refers to him lovingly, Turd Blossom, Rove has admitted that they fired and replaced approximately 123 federal attorneys in the 6 years that they have ripped this country into shreds. You also hear frequently, and you hear this rotund little pig say it in the soundbite I'm going to play for you in a moment, that Bill Clinton fired 93, all 93, when he took office. What these right-wing bastards leave out is that when Clinton fired all 93, as every president usually does when they take office, the 93 replacements that Janet Reno was to pick had to be confirmed by the United States Senate, which very shortly after Clinton's election was controlled by Republicans. What the pigs, what this filthy Limbaugh and the filthier, because he's such a dumbass, Hannity, what they tell their brain-dead listeners is, what they fail to say, is that they required Senate confirmation back in the day, and that what the Bush crime family did was slip into the reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act, a provision that says U.S. attorneys can be fired and replacements put in their place without Senate confirmation, which makes all the difference in the world. The plan was to further marginalize the legislative branch of the government, A, B, place in the position of the most powerful attorneys in the United States, friends and butt buddies of Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and the rest of these monsters. Now, every time you hear somebody say, well, yeah, but Bill Clinton fired all 93, every single president usually cleans house in the Justice Department. But up until this corrupt, filthy, neo-Nazi administration of Cheney and Rove and Libby and the rest of these pigs, the replacements had to be confirmed by the Senate. Whether that Senate was in control of the party in the White House or not, that's what they leave out. That's what these radio shriekers on right-wing talk radio. This is why their audience is so damn stupid and ignorant and politically illiterate. Well, Bill Clinton did it. Bill Clinton did it. Bill Clinton did it too. Bill Clinton did it. Now, in addition to these emails being released indicating that Karl Rove, the rotund little rat bastard, is so involved in this this scam, this attempt to further destroy the legislative branch of government, even though the legislative branch, they even though at the time the legislative branch was controlled totally by Republicans, that doesn't mean anything to these people. They don't care. They don't give a damn about Republicans. The Republicans in the House and the Senate were little beasts of burden for the Cheney, Rove, Bush crime family. These Republicans in the Senate that think they were important, I don't care if it was John Cornyn or John Kyle or any of these people, they think they were important or meaningful to the Bush administration. No, they weren't. No more than the religious right is meaningful to the Bush crime family. The religious right, don't forget, are the ones that the Bush crime family would sit around as they smoked their cigars and drank their booze and brought the strippers in. The religious right were the ones that they would sit around and laugh at and make fun of and have little pet names for religio-fascist thugs like Falwell and Robertson and Dobson. They make fun of them. Same is true with the Republicans in the Senate. The Bush crime family doesn't give a goddamn about the Republicans in the Senate. They couldn't care less. So the talk about replacing all of these federal attorneys in 2005, a conversation that apparently Gonzalez initiated before. before. What's his name? Gonzalez was confirmed. White House Advisor Karl Rove in early January 2005, indicating Rove was more involved. The emails also show that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez discussed the idea of firing the attorneys en masse weeks before he was confirmed as Attorney General. Now, think back. Think back over the past 2 or 3 years when I and you have been screaming our guts out For the Democrats in the Senate to stand up, to have some nerve, to stop these confirmations, whether it was Gonzalez or John Roberts or Sammy the Fish Alito or just on and on and on, federal judges. How many times did you and I scream our guts out for the Democrats to at least, even though they were a minority party, at least have the decency to filibuster this? No matter what this was. And how many times do we get the story back from these crappy Democrats, these cowardly Democrats?
Oh, well, we're going to wait for something important to come. Nah, the president should have the right to have his own people in place. Okay.
Now, do you think the Democrats have come out of the ether yet? I know I have. Have you?
Pick up piggies in the starched white shirt. You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play around with.
Friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside.
Anyone past the hour. So all these emails that are boiling out of God knows where, the White House, the Attorney General's office, yada, 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 the emails directly contradict what the Bush crime family was saying earlier this week, that this whole idea of firing everybody really was the idea of the recently departed White House counsel, Harriet Myers. You know, it was all her. It was her. She did it. Now it turns out that she really didn't have anything to do with it, not that much anyway. Way back in when Bush first illegally took office as a fake president of the United States, she had the idea, but, you know, she was a White House counsel, of course. Two independent sources in a position to know, according to Associated Press, or no, according to ABC News here, two independent sources in a position to know have described the contents of the email exchange, which could be released as early as Friday. They put Rove at the epicenter of all this and raise questions about Gonzalez's explanations of the matter. Raise questions mean he's a lying son of a bitch. That's all that means. He lied. He lied. Why is it that editorial writers, especially at the Times and the Post, can't use the word lied when they refer to Cheney? They say he was less than truthful. What the hell does less than truthful mean? Why can't these people write the word? It's a little three-letter word, L-I-E, lie. It's what these bastards in the Bush crime family have been doing for 6 years. Why can't someone say it other than some screaming radio talk show host? Yeah, okay, well, whatever. Part of what's making this a political firestorm is a couple of things. First of all, the attempt to bypass and further marginalize the legislative branch of government. That's a given. These people are truly dictators. They truly are, the Bush crime family. But also, is the Bush crime family's insistence that the idea came from poor old clunky-shoed Harriet Myers. And that, no, they decided, no, Harriet, you're out of control, and that they rejected it. It was her idea. That's what they're saying. They're just dumping it on her. Tony Snow told reporters yesterday, or Tuesday, that Myers had suggested firing all three and that it was, quote, her idea only, end quote. Oh, my God, is Tony Snow. He's a front man for a crime syndicate. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He goes out there every day with the information they've told him to say. He's no more of an insider with the Bush crime family than Kathy is. But there he stands. Oh, no, it was all Harriet Myers. Guess what, dude? No, it wasn't. It wasn't even Harriet Myers. These lying bastards. All right, speaking of Tony Snow. He woke up from his long siesta in South America and attempted to put out the latest fiery Republican scandal tied to the White House, Gonzalez Gate, by getting up there and lying again. It's hilarious that Tony Snow tried to postpone talking about this as long as he could. The New York Times said his absence in South America became so frequent that they put a milk carton on the podium with his photo on it and the caption, "Have you seen this man?" Hey, that's a real knee slapper. Clearly, he was hiding from questions like this one from one of the crack White House press corps this morning. Tony, the Judiciary Committee today approved authorized subpoenas for five Justice Department officials as they look into the prosecutor's case. What's the administration's reaction to that?
Well, I'd never refer you to the Department of Justice on that. I know that they've had some conversations, but I'll refer you to DOJ on that.
Why would that be? Why wouldn't the White House?
Because it's subpoenas for the DOJ, and the Department of Justice will respond. The Department of Justice has also had ongoing conversations with people on Capitol Hill. I don't want to be their fact witness on this one, but I suggest you give their office a call.
Do you think the White House made any mistakes in this whole matter of the, the discussions over the firings? And in particular, I'm wondering if Attorney General Gonzalez was making, statements to members of Congress beginning in January that have later proved to be not exactly in line with the facts. Weren't people in the White House aware of that?
I'm not going to get into extensive sort of fact witnessing. Let me make a simple
Jesus
point.
God.
U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president.
Yeah, okay.
And these were proper decisions to remove seven U.S. attorneys.
No, it wasn't.
And the Department of Justice went through its own process, and I'll let the Department of Justice speak for the metrics.
Speak for the metrics. Oh, okay. You hear that reporter? I'm wondering if Attorney General Gonzalez was making statements to members of Congress that later proved to be not exactly in line with the facts. Why can't this little crack White House press bastard say, "Hey, Tony, he lied, didn't he?"
Nothing. I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
God.
I don't want you reading my personal stuff. You bastards.
Back to Tony Snow. Reporter Victoria Jackson here stymies Slow Tony with this question about Chucklenuts' damning statement that he personally knew for a fact that the 8 firings were not politically motivated, which, as we pointed out last night, proves that he did have knowledge about the firings, and we said it makes him a material witness, despite his claims that he knew nothing about them. So Victoria Jackson says, Tony, the president said, quote, I've heard those allegations about political decision-making. It's just not true, end quote. How can he say that, Tony, when he hasn't seen all the emails? Emails continue to come out, and of those that have already come out, some of them clearly seem to show that at some level at least, there was political decision-making.
How would you define political decision-making?
Well, decision-making that involves politics.
How would you define it?
Well, no, it's a loaded term. I mean, I think what the president is saying is that there's no... What to say? That in evaluating U.S. attorneys, this is based on performance.
Uh-huh.
And the important thing to do, and furthermore, the Department of Justice made recommendations, what the president has accepted.
He was so in the loop then that he definitely knew there was nothing political, or was he in fact removed as you indicated this morning?
No, I think, again, what the president has done, the Department of Justice has made recommendations, they've been approved, and it's pretty clear that these things are based on performance and not on sort of attempts to do political retaliation, if you will.
Oh, Jesus. Why don't you just sit down and shut up, you twit? Victoria Jackson just spun him around her little finger like a piece of taffy. He says, Victoria Jackson says, was there political decision making? And little snot says, how would you define political decision-making? You know, remember last week he asked how to define the word cloud in reference to Cheney? Remember that? Is it true the vice president or cloud? How do you define the word cloud? Oh, that's so Republican. That's so Fox Newsy. Way to go, punk. And Victoria Jackson answers, well, decision-making that involves politics. And then he answered, well, it's a loaded term. Wait a second, Tony. It's Raisin Brain's own words. And then he says, the important thing to do, and furthermore, Department of Justice's recommendations that the president has accepted. Oh, okay. So you're going to stick to the performance-based firing excuse. Not even the Republicans are buying that one, Snowman. Oh, my God. Oh, by the way, former Senator, Illinois Senator, Peter Fitzgerald, no relation to Patrick Fitzgerald, but former Republican Senator Peter Fitzgerald of Illinois, revealed yesterday that Karl Rove pressured him in 2001 to choose a U.S. attorney who Peter Fitzgerald believed would be lenient in probing state corruption. This is according to the Chicago Tribune. Now, at the time, who was governor? That's right, a Republican! Fitzgerald ended up choosing Patrick Fitzgerald, no relation, who was later named special prosecutor in the CIA leak case. Now, here it is from the Tribune. Quote, Rove told Senator Fitzgerald in the spring of 2001 that he should limit his choice for U.S. attorney in Chicago to someone from Illinois. According to Fitzgerald, who was determined to bring in a prosecutor from outside the state, Rove, quote, just said, we don't want you going outside the state. We don't want you to be moving U.S. attorneys around, end quote. Fitzgerald said he believes Rove was trying to influence the selection in reaction to pressure from Representative Dennis Hastert, then Speaker of the House, and allies of then-Governor George Ryan, Republican, who knew Fitzgerald was seeking someone from outside Illinois to attack political corruption. Senator Fitzgerald said he announced his choice, Patrick Fitzgerald, a New Yorker, on May 13th. A Mother's Day Sunday, in order to preempt any opposition. Now, according to Senator Fitzgerald, a year or so later, Karl Rove, quote, said to me That the Fitzgerald appointment got great headlines for you, but it ticked off the base. Peter Fitzgerald said he believes the base was Illinois Republicans Republican insiders upset at the prosecutor's assault on corruption. And, of course, little did Rove know that Fitzgerald would be ticking him and the White House off 2 years later. Now, where did I get that from? Damn it, I don't have attribution here. I'm sorry. That might have been on Think Progress. It might have been on Daily Coast. I'm not sure where I stole that from. Just keep in mind, nothing is original on this program, except when Kathy or I write a blog, a mini blog. But everything else is derivative when I'm quoting something. All right? Okay. Now, I want you to hear Karl Rove, Turd Blossom, as Bush refers to him, or the architect, as those of us who don't like to use bad language ever, as we refer to him, speaking to journalism students at Troy University in Alabama. Go ahead, fill in your own punchline. After his speech, Bush's brain, or the architect, or Turd Blossom, actually took questions from the students who wanted to know about the latest White House scandal. This is kind of funny, because new emails were released just a few minutes after Rove spoke to these students. And the new email, one of them named him, Rove, as the spearhead of an effort to fire all 93 U.S. attorneys in January 2005. So it wasn't Harriet Meyer's plan, as the Bush crime family keeps asserting. Mobetta, these emails show that Gonzalez talked with Rove about this while he, torture boy, was still White House counsel. So he lied when he said he had no knowledge of these firings directly. They all lie. This is not a newsflash. Anyway, a student asked Karl Rove about Attorneygate, and here's Rove's response. Now listen up, because he discloses something that's not been widely publicized, the fact that the Bushies have replaced all 93 attorneys, sometimes more than once, for a total of 128 replacements in 6 years. So we're not just talking about seven or eight. And you can bet your bottom dollar there are more scandals to come.
A U.S. attorney serves at the pleasure of the president. So the presidents typically tend to make changes in these over time while they're in office. When we came in 2001, we reviewed all 93 U.S. attorneys and over a course of time replaced virtually all of them with appointees by the president. In this instance, the Department of Justice looked at U.S. attorneys and made, on the basis of policy or performance, a decision to replace seven of them.
Seven.
This is not unusual. In the case of the Clinton administration, they replaced all 93 U.S. attorneys at the beginning of their term. We didn't do it that way. We replaced the original 93, most of them. There's still a handful left from the Clinton era. And we've replaced, though, a total of 128, because some of these slots have been held more than by more than one individual. In each of these instances, a decision was made at the Department of Justice on the basis of policy and personnel. Every president's entitled to do it.
Yeah, every president's entitled to do it, schmuck. But why didn't you tell the journalism students the whole truth? That the USA Patriot Act renewal had slipped into it by you filthy America hater, a provision that said the appointment of U.S. attorneys no longer needs Senate confirmation. See, that's the difference, isn't it, Turd Blossom, between what Clinton did, Janet Reno, and what this filthy, corrupt, fake president and you and the rest of you pigs did. Why don't you tell the whole truth? Huh? Maybe you'll tell the truth when you're put under oath and put in front of a Senate committee investigating all the chicanery and double dealing and lies and deceit you people have committed. Now, as much as I bitch about weak-kneed, candy-ass, cowardly Democrats in the House and the Senate, this is why it was so important to have a Senate and House majority Democrat. Because it gives them subpoena power. Without this power, God only knows how many of these scandals, this filth, this lies, this corruption, this destruction of liberty and democratic process and the Constitution and co-equal branches of government, how much of it has gone on in the past 6 years? Who knows? Because the little piglets running around the House and the Senate, the Republicans, whom the Bush crime family cares not a damn about, refused ever to hold hearings or issue subpoenas or hold this filthy executive branch accountable. If the Democrats do nothing else except expose all this, I will forever stop bitching and whining about the Democrats. I really will. I'll just say, that's it. Okay, fine. You did your job. Finally. Man. Subpoena power. A provision that gives the legislative branch the ability to question the policies and get the truth, or find them in contempt, of the executive branch. The judicial branch. The branch of government that interprets laws passed by the legislative branch as to whether or not they're constitutional. You see how it all fits together. And you see the destruction that the Bush crime family has done to our country. It's not theirs. It's yours and mine. Do you understand that?
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour. We just want to let you know that we are going to be taking your phone calls coming up right after the break. That's almost, we get back from one, we got to take another one. Just wanted to share this with you, though. This is another one from our Catskills Bureau Chief, AJ the Music Factory. Hey, Mike, every once in a while someone comes along who so eloquently speaks on a given subject. I've been screaming about. I simply want to shut up, feeling unworthy to use the English language. So it was last night with Bill Moyers. You can catch the, it was on alternative radio. You can watch the whole speech on YouTube. This one line, among others, got a huge applause. Here it is, quote. This is from Bill Moyers. For years, the media marketplace for opinions and public policy has been dominated by, quote, a highly disciplined, thoroughly networked ideological noise machine, end quote, to use David Brock's term, permeated by slogans concocted by big corporations, their lobbyists, and their think tank subsidiaries. Public discourse has effectively changed the meaning of American values. Day after day, the ideals of fairness and liberty and mutual responsibility have been stripped of their essential dignity and meaning in people's lives. Day after day, the egalitarian creed of our Declaration of Independence is trampled underfoot by hired experts and sloganeers who speak of the death tax, the ownership society, the culture of life, the liberal assault on God and family, compassionate conservatism, weak on terrorism, the end of history, the clash of civilizations, no child left behind. They have even managed to turn the escalation of a failed war into a surge, as if it were a current of electricity through a wire, instead of blood spurting from the ruptured vein of a soldier. Hmm. Well, Bill Moyers, you know, I've said it before, a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. But if I have any other than Bart Cop, it's Bill Moyers. Surge. All right, let's. We got time for a phone call before the break? Yeah, I think we do. Let's see who's been holding on. Gene in California. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program. Hey, Gene.
Oh, hello there.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, you know, I was just listening to the news, Mike, and Attorney General Gonzalez now says that he can't recall the details of the Justice Department purge. his loss of memory, though. Do you think he should be allowed to use that as an excuse?
Well, no, I don't. But watch the Republicans, most of the Republicans in the Senate, will immediately jump to his defense with something like, well, Bill Clinton couldn't remember anything either. You know what they always do.
Yeah, but I don't think it should last anymore. What else will they forget from present time? I mean, an immature... I forgot excuse. That should be a ticket out of town.
Well, it should be, but they've forgotten Osama bin Laden. Do you notice how you never hear his name anymore, but we've been treated in the past couple of days to the discovery that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has confessed to everything? But I thought it was Osama. Oh, no, never mind.
Right. That excuse that you were talking about, everybody else does it, about getting rid of the prosecutors each new administration. But it's always done with congressional oversight.
Right.
Everybody else has not always done it without going before Congress.
Well,
so they're doing something very different, and that's the part they don't want
what, the firings?
To know about.
The firings?
Yes.
Well, the firings, anybody can fire. But the point is, and this is what the right-wing liars leave out, in order to appoint new federal attorneys, you must have each one of them go before Congress and be confirmed.
And they don't want that. They
right,
want their
exactly.
Secrecy.
And in the USA Patriot Act, that provision, that constitutional provision, was stripped out. And a new law was passed that said, no, once we fire them, we can put them in interim federal attorneys until such time as, well, we decide to maybe submit their names to the United States Senate. Like I said earlier, what they do here is completely destroy the co-equal roles of the legislative, judicial, and executive branch. This is a dictatorship. This is how dictatorships are born, without the use of a military invasion. This is kind of the way Hitler did it, by using the law. You know, nobody ever invaded Germany and installed Hitler. He was elected. Now, Bush, well, he was elected with a minority, and then he was appointed chancellor. Bush was never elected. Bush got a minority of the votes, but the U.S. Supreme Court made him chancellor. So what we have borne witness to, those of us who have been paying attention over the past 6 years, is how a fascist dictatorship is actually put together, right in front of our eyes.
And I think that Gonzalez, when he says mistakes have been made, the only mistake they're concerned about is that they got caught.
They got caught, sure. Mistakes were made. The tracks weren't covered well enough.
Right. His chief of staff left memos that could be retrieved.
Yeah, really. Oh, well.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Mike.
Absolutely, Gene. Thank you. Take care.
Have a great show. Bye.
All right. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. The Nova M Radio Network is where you're tuned, whether you're listening on the internet, on the radio, on Sirius Satellite, or podcasts, uploads, downloads, sideways. Suzanne in L.A. wants me to know that only approximately 80 signatures are needed on draftgore.com to bring the total to 58,000. Less than 80, or around 80. Okay, I'm sure. What do we have, Kathy? We have at least 100 listeners to this program every night, right? On a good night. 100? Okay, 75. If you haven't signed, please do so. Draftgore.com. Go to the website and sign. Would you? If you're inclined. I mean, if you think Gore is a terrible choice, then forget about it. But if you think that that might make some kind of sense, draftgore.com. Larissa Alexandrovna is one of the senior writers, editors, writers at rawstory.com. She has a blog site, at largely, you know, like at large with an L-Y on it, atlargely.com. And she just posted this, I guess, this evening. A huge problem here with the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed confession. In his confession, KSM claims, quote, "I was responsible for planning, training, surveying, and financing for the new or second wave of attacks against the following skyscrapers after September 11th. Plaza Bank, Washington State." That's one that he confesses to. Plaza Bank, Washington State. Now, according to their official website, the Plaza Bank was not founded until 2006. Here's what it says on their website. Founded in early 2006 with a vision of creating the leading commercial bank in the Pacific Northwest, Plaza Bank's story quickly captured the hearts and passion of some of the region's leading business minds, from Jack Creighton, former CEO of Weyerhaeuser and United Airlines, to former Seattle Mariner Edgar Martinez and nationally acclaimed salon operator Gene Juarez. The story of a bank founded to bring, quote, class to the mass, end quote, simply could not be contained. Now, that's at their website. Larissa writes, "I think we can say for quite certain that whomever is being held as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was either caught recently or that his entire confession is a fraud." Yeah, if you poke around, you're going to find more holes in this than you'll find in a whole box of Krispy Kreme donuts. You really will. I would like to see the people who planned and executed or had anything to do with, conspired is the word I'm looking for, to set off this horrible mass murder in the United States on September 11, 2001. I'd like to see them brought to justice. But the first step in doing that would be to impeach the bastards, to get them out of office so they can be brought to trial. So you can't put on trial a president, not a criminal trial, a president or a vice president or cabinet members, but you can impeach them. Then they can be charged with crimes against humanity. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Yeah. Okay. All right, back to your phone calls. Will is calling from Michigan. Hey, Will, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I wanted to call and give you an update on what's going on here in the Lansing area.
Okay.
Tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of Rachel Corrie's murder.
Right.
And
how many people know what happened to Rachel Corrie?
I doubt very many people know.
How many people know she was killed by a bulldozer? How many people know she was killed by a bulldozer standing in the way of or standing between the bulldozer and a house that's being demolished? How many people know that she was standing in front of that house in the occupied territories of the Palestinians? And how many people know that the driver of the bulldozer was a member of the Israeli Defense Forces who clearly saw her and decided to murder her? And how many people know there was a play written about this that was denied permission to be performed on Broadway because it would offend certain members of that community. And finally, I believe the play was performed after quite a bit of discussion. So,
how many people know that the bulldozer that killed her was made in America?
Yeah, that was the irony. But on the other hand, how many people globally have been killed, innocent people, by weapons, whether they're bulldozers, bombs, tanks, or bullets made in America? So I guess that part of it is not completely unique. But the Rachel Corrie story is one that we don't talk about in the United States of America. We're not allowed to.
Well, tomorrow is just the start of our anniversary planning. Tuesday is the fourth anniversary of the invasion, and we're doing something here in Lansing every day, starting tomorrow until the 20th. And I'm sure there's other events going on elsewhere, and I just want to encourage all the listeners to get out and let your voices be heard in the streets. We need to stop this war.
Is any of this in conjunction with the nationwide demonstrations planned for the 17th, this Saturday, which is the fourth anniversary of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, which I'm sure you're aware of?
We're planning on the 17th. We're planning to have a doctor of theology, Gary Dorian, speak on militaristic illusions, what unipolarism has wrought. And of course there's the big march on the Pentagon for people that want to go to Washington D.C. again. I was just there in January, so I won't be going to that. On the 18th, we're having a teach-in at Michigan State University with speakers and films. On the 19th, we're going to have a speaker talk about the daily lives of the Iraqi people. And on the 20th, we're going to have a big demonstration in downtown East Lansing, right across from campus on Grand River Avenue.
Is there a website? I know I ask you this all the time. Well,
yeah.
People can get information about this in that part of Michigan.
Yeah, it's peaceforiraq.org.
Peaceforiraq.org. Okay, let's hope people go and get the information. Thanks for checking in, Will. Take care, okay?
You too.
All right. If you want information about the events to commemorate the fourth anniversary of the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq, you can go to unitedforpeace.org, unitedforpeace.org. And you can go to the website also that Will just talked about. Rick is calling from Peoria, Arizona. Is that right, Rick?
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hi, I didn't know there was a Peoria, Arizona.
There is a Peoria, Arizona?
Well, I'll be darned. Learn something every night when you do talk radio.
Really
welcome
beautiful,
to the
beautiful country. And, hey, I just wanted to, call about the situation with our country's energy needs and the world's energy needs. And you never really, we'll hear about, we'll get monthly reports on inflation or consumer growth.
Rick, hold on a second. I have to take a break. This is NOVEM Radio. We'll be right back.
We want peace, we want like earning capital. I earned capital in the campaign, political capital, and now I intend to spend it. It is my style. That's what happened in after the 2000 election. I earned some capital. I've earned capital in this election, and I'm going to spend it.
Jesus, God. Incredible. Rick, in Peoria, we asked him, our producer asked him to call in, our associate producer, call in another time with a discussion about energy, and because I want to stay focused tonight if possible. By the way, Roger in Seattle informs me that Peoria, Arizona is where the Seattle Mariners play spring baseball. Thank you, Roger, in Seattle. All right, back to your phone calls. Jake is calling from Arcata, California. Hey, Jake.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
Yeah, I'd just like to talk about the situation with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. You know, in addition to confessing to being behind 9/11, there's a rumor going around that Sheikh Mohammed confessed to being a Watergate burglar and the second gunman on the grassy knoll. You know, I mean, what is this deal with the military tribunals? There's no public record of anything. All we get is a redacted record from the Pentagon. Why does anybody trust anything these people say?
People with common sense and a respect for what has been our system of justice, as flawed as it has been in the past in certain instances, reject everything that's coming from these cretinous bastards at Guantanamo. I am certainly not saying that someone named Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is not to some degree responsible for what occurred in this country on September 11, 2000. I'm sure the only people who could truthfully answer about his involvement other than him would be George Bush, Dick Cheney, Karl Rove, Elliot Abrams, and some of the monsters in the Bush crime family. But to accept at face value anything that comes from the Bush crime family or any division of the Bush crime family, I don't care if it's the CIA, the FBI, the United States military, the Republican Party, any of the cabinet offices, to me, every single thing they say is a filthy, stinking lie.
That's right, Mike, especially about 9/11. They don't have anything to back up the official story. In fact, if people actually want to get some real evidence, actually take a look at the forensic evidence, the video evidence, they should go to one website. It's called loosechange911.com.
Oh, yeah, we're real familiar with it.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's simply the evidence is there straight from the networks that was shot that morning on 9/11. They showed the damage at the Pentagon. They showed the towers, you know, in the situation where you had reporters on the scene. You had firefighters, cops saying bombs were going off in the building. You had at the Pentagon.
Wait, Jake, hold on just a second. We're not into a discussion about 9/11 tonight. We do talk about it considerably. You and I are on the same page, but we're talking about the topics that I've been ranting and raving about all night. Okay?
Got it. Okay. Well, I do agree with what you're saying, definitely about the whole situation having to do with, you know, Gonzalez and the, you know, what are they doing with Karl Rove making decisions on what kind of federal prosecutors we're going to have in this country?
Well, that's because George Bush can't. he can't do it. George Bush is as qualified to decide who should be a federal attorney. He's as qualified as any 60-year-old punk ass who went to Harvard and Yale on due to the fact that his father went there. He's a failure, a jerk, and a freak. And for him to be deciding attorneys, federal attorneys in this country is a joke. So he can't do it. He knows he can't do it. So he turns it over to Turd Blossom and to Cheney.
Yeah, the only thing George W. Bush is good at doing is, I guess, gaining capital in the way of money from his illegal war. You know, he's made a lot of money, so I guess there's one thing he's good at. But being president, he's the worst we've ever had.
The worst, absolutely. Thanks for checking in, Jake. I appreciate it. We have, what do we have here? Two or three open lines if you have always tried to get in and can't. Now's the time. Evan is calling from Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Evan, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Excuse me. I, as far as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you know, he has saved the United States several hundred billion dollars by confessing to all sorts of things. So I kind of expect him to get the Medal of Freedom within the next 60 days or so.
Well, do you really think that the guy that they're telling us is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's making all these confessions, do you really think it's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? That thing I read earlier tonight from the Asia Times, that his wife and kids identified his corpse. I mean, he's been dead for 4 years.
Wow, so, I just tuned in. I had not heard about that.
Oh, yeah. It's an article in October 2002 from Asia Times. And I read the thing almost in its entirety. He was blown away by Pakistani rangers who attacked the house he was living in, killed him, killed a couple other people. Hey, hold on a second. I got to take a break here.
Sure.
It's about 27 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
We love America, but that's no reason to get hysterical. Now you're north of zero. We ain't waffles. We ain't having it.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to Evan in Durham, North Carolina. Okay, where were we, Evan?
Yes, we were talking about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and he may be dead.
Yeah. Well, according to Asia Times, 4 years ago, he was killed in a raid in Karachi, Pakistan, by members of the Pakistani rangers, military police, whatever. Mm-hmm. And his wife and children were taken into custody and vigorously questioned. You can imagine how that went.
Right.
So I don't know. As far as I know, this is the second or third time that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has either been resurrected or killed again or resurrected again or killed again. Whatever happened to Osama bin Laden, the Saudi, I thought he was the guy. This is insanity.
We can't afford to catch him. They can't afford to catch him.
Well, I wonder if these people exist. You know, I've said 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I don't believe there's any such thing as Al-Qaeda. That is an Arabic word that means the base. As far as an organization named Al-Qaeda, to me that's nonsense. That is something that was manufactured by the CIA or the Bush crime family or somebody who said, look, you've got to brand everything. You brand the invasion and occupation of Iraq. You brand the slaughter that goes on in Afghanistan. You brand what is going on in the occupied territories in Israel, Palestine. You must brand everything. So let's brand this terrorist organization. I know. Let's call it Al-Qaeda. What does Al-Qaeda mean? That means the base. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean anything, but it doesn't have to mean anything.
Right.
You know, who was it in the Bush crime family that said you don't introduce a new product in August, meaning the invasion of Iraq? Remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah, these people are pigs. These people are worse than pigs.
Have you heard about this email that was floating, being bounced around amongst the FBI? I found it on the ACLU's website. It's an email about they were discussing an executive order from Bush regarding interrogation techniques, torture techniques,
right.
An executive order about that.
Right.
And the ACLU is trying to get these people to release that email, release the executive order. It apparently was being discussed. The FBI, I guess they didn't know really what to make of it. And But there's several emails about this executive order that Bush apparently used and sent to them, or sent to somebody.
Well,
I think that these people, you know, and that's the other thing. For Gonzalez to, everybody is trying to get him to resign. I don't want him to resign, because doesn't that mean that he can show up, you know, 6, 7, 8 years, 10 years later in someone else's administration, just like the rest of these people?
That's very true and a very real possibility, but I do believe that possibly the American people are having their eyes opened to the fact that if you don't protect what you have, you're going to lose it. And I think these past 14 years, roughly, of Republican domination in the legislative branch, and the past 6 years, the Republican domination in the executive branch, I think the American public is starting to realize that Republicans cannot govern. They are incipient fascists. The only thing they can do is consolidate power, screw over everybody except their cronies and their religious fanatics, the Christian religious fanatics, and everybody else can go to hell. And I think the American public is waking up to that. At least that's my hope. That's my hope.
Yeah.
All right, Evan,
Anybody wants to see that email, is at ACLU.org, and do a search for just FBI email. It'll pop right up there.
Okay, great. Thanks, Evan. I appreciate you checking in. Nick in Oakland, California sends in, Mike, every time I hear the base used as a description of the Christian fundamentalist extremists that prop up the Republican Party, I'm reminded of Al-Qaeda, the organization originally founded by Osama bin Laden to offer financial support to injured Mujahideen and the families of those killed in the war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. In Arabic, Al-Qaeda means the base. Terrorist group meet terrorist group. How appropriate, Nick in Oakland. I think I knew that about bin Laden setting up a support organization to help families in the war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. But I still believe that Al-Qaeda is a made-up term, made up by either the CIA or the DIA or some branch of the American government, of the Bush crime family. If Al-Qaeda really existed, and if Al-Qaeda is responsible for events going back to 1993, why is it that we only heard the term subsequent to 2001, to the bombing, the attack on this country in 2001? Isn't that a little odd that over an 8-year period of repeated alleged terrorist attacks around the planet, whether they were embassies in Africa or attack on the World Trade Center by the so-called blind Egyptian sheikh, whatever it was, how's come the term Al-Qaeda never turned up, never materialized, never was made manifest until some punk, some killer, some Republican came up with the idea, well, we got to brand this terror group. Has to be a brand. You know, American public doesn't react unless there's a brand. We can't have, toothpaste. We've got to have a name for the toothpaste. We can't have a war. We got to have a name for the war. We can't have a terrorist organization. We've got to have a name for it. I don't believe anything that comes from this group of bandits. Nothing. Nothing. This is from a listener in Phoenix, originally from Afghanistan, named Palwasha. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Dear Mike, every night I listen to you talking about all the different lies told by this administration. Lies are being told about everything, like reasons for the war. However, I am noticing a change in the American people. Lies are not accepted anymore, and statements are being challenged. I would like to let everyone that gives a crap to know that your outrage is appreciated. He's not referring to mine here. He's referring to anyone's outrage. Your caring is not going unnoticed, and that hope is not gone as long as you are mad as hell. In fact, I would like to thank each and every one of you for caring for some people on the other side of the world that you may never meet, shake hands, or say hello and goodbye. Yet here you are, outraged, frustrated, and giving a damn. America will always be that light at the end of the tunnel, as long as you, the American citizen, care about what is going on. The day you stop screaming, yelling, and raising hell will be the day America will be lost forever. America is not real, it is a dream. If for one day we stop dreaming and caring, America will be gone and a nightmare will take its place. Please never give up, never stop dreaming, and never stop raising hell. Thank you. From Palwasha in Phoenix, originally from Afghanistan. You know, I hear these right-wing bastards on the radio talk about, if everybody hates America, why is everyone trying to get here? And I think what this emailer just wrote is true. It is a dream. There are so many countries, whether they're secular or religious, whether they are a communist or capitalist, so many countries where the people feel oppressed. And America has always had this image of being a place where we had a constitution and we had people like Jefferson and Adams and Washington. And yes, we had slavery. Yes, we had genocide against the original inhabitants. Yes, yes, yes. But we also had these documents. And yes, women only got the right to vote in this country in 1920. And yes, the affirmation of African Americans to vote was only in the 60s. Yes, yes, yes. But the documents were there. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And each is endowed by his Creator with certain inalienable rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What other country has that as a preamble to their constitution? Whether you believe in the Creator stuff or not, it is immaterial. The fact that the poetry, the humanistic approach in that preamble to the Constitution of the United States, as Palwasha says, that has been the dream. That's been the lamp. That's been the light in this country. And yes, this country was born in slavery and genocide. If we don't accept that and understand that, we are fools. But have we not tried to some degree, to move away from that? Have we not tried? I think we have. Maybe not as intensely as we could have, but we have tried. But that's what America has been until George W. Bush.
The captain said, "Excuse me, ma'am, the species has amused itself to death."
We watched tragedy unfold. We did as we were told, we wanted to show.
Before the hour, thanks to our engineer and associate producer Ian Huff in Phoenix, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent Mark Marshall, our webmaster, the moderators at MikeMalloy.com. And if you have a second, go to MarkMarshall.com for information about his new CD, New Eye. It's really a good collection of music. And I'm hoping you'll go to NovemRadio.com and sign up for the downloads and podcasts, okay? Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Two quick emails. Reg writes, unalienable, not inalienable rights. Gotta love her. Unalienable, not inalienable. All right, Mom. Also from Debbie, Mike, the website of United for Peace does not have the information regarding the march scheduled on the Pentagon for this coming Saturday, March 17th. It was not organized by them. However, many prominent individuals and coalitions are taking part, including many, including World Can't Wait, SDS, and many others. I think it would be important to let people know to check out the website answer.net, and worldcantwait.org for details. This is much too important to ignore, Debbie. Yeah, those are the websites, answer.net and worldcantwait.org for details. All right, that's the demonstration coming up March 17th, this Saturday. And I have a feeling, Kathy, do you still have, I'm sure you do, the shock and awe, that six-minute-long... Yeah, we're probably going to play that tomorrow night. How long is it? About six and a half minutes? The night of the attack by the United States, unprovoked attack on Iraq. This will be the third time in the history of this program that we've played that, but we're going to do it tomorrow night. So, back to your phone calls. And let's see. Oh, Mad Dog Mark is calling from Michigan. Hey, Mad Dog. Damn, haven't heard from you in about 2 years.
Well, gee, dude, you know, I'm chasing you all over the radio... What do you call it? The network, the archives, or the?
I'm hard. Look, I'm very. It's very difficult to keep me employed, because I say things that so many powers that be in this country just don't want said.
Well, so, you speak of truth, dude.
Well, yeah, but
come on now.
Truth is a not sought after commodity by the powers that be. So yeah, you have to work to find this program. But how are you doing? How's everything? How's the music? How's, you know, whatever?
Well, you know, that's part of my mad dog's wish list. You know, is Miss Kathy and the family okay?
Oh, they're doing great. They're doing great, Mark.
You know, I see all news on the boards and. I finally found it tonight, and I got the Windows Media Player up, and we're good to go, and got a podcast thing, you know, I can get you. And
right.
I'm a little bummed that your stint on WDTW didn't really fly. They put you on late at night.
Well, yeah, that was back in the Air America days. You know, Air America fired me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and
right.
DTW... They put y'all on late at night, and,
yeah.
You know, it was high AM, so the reception was terrible.
It's terrible.
So I get you on a late night, and I come home from a gig one night from Clarkston, and I gave up and went to, I don't know what you call it, the BBC World Network or whatever.
Right.
At least some pleasant voice I could listen to.
Yeah.
But anyway, my wish list is like, you know, I got my first list that you and Kath and the family are doing good. My second wish is that Herr Goebbels' row gets called in front of the Senate. You know, I really love certain senators. How about Carl Levin?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun. Having Carl Levin ask questions of Turd Blossom, that would be fun.
Oh, it would be such a joy. My third wish list would be that the Republican Party continue to be their own worst enemy. Let me give you an example. Today in the Detroit Free Press, if you go, there was an article how the major GOP donors in Michigan
mm-hmm.
are upset because of an ad they donated to generate voter turnout in the November election.
Right.
Here it was a gubernatorial. It was an off-year thing.
Right.
Was used to generate a Photoshop picture of the woman I call Governor Pretty Eyes, Jennifer Granholm, with Adolf Hitler and certain Democratic presidents.
Oh, my God.
And they actually did that. And these major... donors here in Michigan, and these names are very well known here,
right.
are kind of upset.
Well, I would think.
Well, duh, excuse me, you think you know what's going on in your own party? Are you that blind?
Right.
So I love, as I said it before, when you are on iAmerica, I love the smell of Republican self-destruction in the morning.
Or any time during the day. Mad Dog, we're out of time. Listen, now that you find us, now that you found us again, stay in touch, please.
I'll be back.
All right. I will be back. Thanks, Mad Dog. Take care. Thanks to everybody who participated in the program tonight. I do appreciate it. Take care, okay? I'll see you tomorrow night. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.